We're taking a break. Dave is taking a break, and we're also taking a break from our before we go to 2 Samuel. So today we're going to have a different sermon, and we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So you guys can get ready with that. If you bring your Bibles, you can open your Bibles, or you can turn on your phone, whatever it is that you use. But before we get into it, we are going to pray because I need it. And so are you. So thank you so much, Lord, because you are good. And we are grateful to have you in our life. We want to hear your word, only your word, Lord. And I pray that you can put your words in my mouth, that you can communicate your message, Lord. Lord, I pray so we can all learn something and we can change our heart if it does need to be done. And most likely it needs to be done, Lord. We need you. We need your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be talking in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. Mainly we will focus in verse 9, but we will read all the way to verse 12 so we can have a better idea what's happening here. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners nurse and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage a war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Like I say, we will focus mostly in verse 9. But before we go into this, I need to go to chapter 1, verse 1, so we know who is Peter talking to. Peter is talking to the elect exiles of the dispersion. That's a lot of weird English in there, but you know what I'm saying. Hopefully. These people was people that were all over the place. They were all Israelites, but they were all separate. They were all the same nation, but they were separate. They were all over the place. And it tells us, verse 1, chapter 1, that some people were in Pontus, others in Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and all those countries with weird names. They were all over the place, okay? And it says, verse 2, that this was according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And this idea, the idea of these people that were in exile were the people that were going and they were passing by. It's not the idea they were going to stay there forever. The original text tells us that they were just passing by. They were going to be living in there. They were going to be separated, but it's not going to be forever. Or they are not going to be in that state for the rest of their days. Implies a transitory sense of somebody that who is passing. Somebody is a stranger to that land. This is the people that Peter is talking to. This brings me to a question. How is it possible that Peter is talking to these people, and then later in chapter 2 we'll find out that he's calling them a nation? Because if we think about a nation, we understand a nation as when everybody's together, like the American nation. We are all here. We are all inside borders. This is a nation. Chile is a nation because we have borders and we are all together. How is it possible that Peter is talking to people that are all over the place, but they're still a nation? We will expand on that idea later. How this work? Before we move on, I want to say this. This had to bring us to understand a different sense or a different understanding of what identity is. Okay, Peter is talking to these people, and they are saying, "You guys, we actually read it. You guys are a holy nation. You guys are a royal priesthood. You got a chosen race. Even though you guys are all over the place, you guys are one thing." This is a different sense of identity that probably we will understand nowadays. I remember when I arrived to the United States in 2004. I married 2002. I arrived here 2004. I was told that it was going to take me 2 years to, you know, get rid of my Chilean culture. That after 2 years, I'm going to start getting more used to the American culture, and I'll be, truly American, and I won't be Chilean anymore. And what happened is after 2 years, I was still probably more Chilean when I arrived here because I didn't want to leave that Chilean culture. I was resisting it, like literally in my mind. I didn't want to leave that. And they say, well, maybe you are a little bit more hard-headed, so it may take you a little more time, maybe when you have kids. So I had my kid in 2006, and then another one in 2009, and I was still very Chilean, very Chilean. And some of you know me, you guys know that I love Chile. Not Chile the food, but Chile the country. So years passed, 10 years, 12 years, and I had to say that probably 2 years ago is when finally I was able to say, you know what, I don't feel as Chilean I used to feel before. And it was so confusing. It was so weird for me. I remember going to Chile on vacation, and I was okay to leave my country. I was okay to come back here. It's like, wow, this is not the same. I'm okay. I'm okay with living here. It's going to be fine. But I went through a process, and I went through a time of confusion. A lot of questions in my head because I resist this idea for so long that now I'm like, whoa, this is weird. So I decided maybe, and I didn't decide, I say maybe when I go back to you know, from my vacations to America, I will be able to now embrace the culture. Well, I came back 3 weeks later, and I couldn't embrace the culture either. And I was now so confused. Wait, what's going on? I don't feel Chilean anymore, and I don't feel American. What am I? What's going on here in my head? Honestly, it was a time of a lot of searching, a lot of praying. Where's my identity? Who am I here? And the only thing that I have conviction, the only thing that I knew for sure is that I was a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's the only thing that I was sure. I wasn't a Chilean. I wasn't sure about how much Chilean I was. And I knew that I couldn't embrace the culture fully here. But I know for sure that I was a citizen of the kingdom of God. But what does this mean? That was the next question. What actually means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? And that's what we're going to talk tonight. How we're going to open every single one. Chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. So let's start with the first one. Chosen race. Chosen race. This idea of being a chosen race goes beyond, again, the human understanding. Okay, because we usually will, just like a nation, we'll talk about race nowadays, and we will put a color on it, right? I'm brown, my wife is white, and people have different colors, right? That's how we will understand today. That's the conversation that we hear everywhere nowadays. Well, this chosen race had nothing to do with a color. In the past, when people talk about race, it was connected to their language in the very past. Then later, it had to do something with where you're from, your nation. Nowadays, it had to do with the color. But God is talking about something totally different. He's raising up the bar so we can understand a different concept of what he means by race. It had to do with a different kind of people, a different species, if you will. It don't have nothing to do with the way that we don't understand race. And from all the races, think for a second humanly or earthly. From all the races that exist, he take you, doesn't matter what color you are, he take you and he put you here. In a totally different concept of what race is for him. A different kind of person. Doesn't matter what color you are here on the earth. For God, you are his race, his chosen race. But we're different to what? We're different now. We're a different race, but different to what? We're different to the races of the world. Different to what the people and countries understand by race. We are different for the Lord. We think different. We act different. We take decisions differently. That's what the Lord is doing, and he chooses you. I remember when I was young, in my teens, we used to have games. Usually we'll play soccer, and in order to choose who's going to come to our team, we'll play rock, paper, and scissors. And if I win, I had the chance to choose first. So who do you think I would choose first? The best or the worst? The best. So I will choose the best. So the other guy will choose the next best, and we will choose the worst for the last, right? Because we want to win. That's the way we do it. If you are at your job and they tell you, I need you to make a team to do this project, you will choose the best because that's the way that we act. Where interestingly, when the Lord said that we are a chosen race, he didn't choose the best, and you and me know that. He chose the worst. Because we were not better than our neighbor who was a liar, and I wasn't better than my neighbor who's in prison. I was a sinner as he was. And he chose me and he chose you. So this race is very, very different. And the way that the Lord called us out is not the way that we will do it either. So this is a chosen race. We were chosen only by grace, by the grace of our Lord. Amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. We were only chosen because God wants to choose. He wanted us to be part of his kingdom. Not because we have something better than the other. He just said, you know what? I want Gerardo here. He's terrible. He's just like the other one over here. But I want him. And I don't know why he chose me, but by his grace, I'm here. By his love, I'm here. I'm grateful. And that should take us to have a humble attitude, to be grateful to him forever, and to serve him for what he has done. Because we didn't do anything to deserve this. We are a chosen race. He said also that we are royal priesthood. The idea here, and even in 1 Peter 2:5, is the idea of a fraternity, a body of priests. Right, that we are all together as priests, but we are all part of this royal kingdom. Right, you are a royal priest. We're a body, and this concept you cannot find it either here on this earth. You are not gonna find a nation of people that have, you know, they give all the citizens. Okay, you guys are all leaders. It doesn't work like that. You won't find a nation where the president or the king will say, okay, we are all priests. We are all the same here. There is no difference. That doesn't exist. So again, we see something very particular in the way that the Lord has chosen us and set us apart. This is only something that we can understand at a spiritual level from God's perspective. So what it means to be a priest, right? Without going too deep into it, we all know that priests were in charge of the sacrifices and they were in charge of the temple. They were interceders. I practiced that word, so hopefully I did say it right. They were interceders between the people and God. We know that. And because they had such an important job, they had to constantly searching for the Lord. They had to be always searching for the Lord. As a matter of fact, they were dedicated. Their life was dedicated to God. They will have to be constantly purifying themselves before they go to his presence. That's what the priest used to be, and that's what we're supposed to be. Probably not exactly the same way, but spiritually, it's the same call for us. We had to be constantly searching for the Lord. We had to be constantly looking for our sanctification through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be holy. Holly is my wife, holy. And the way that we can do this is through the work of the high priest, which is the Lord Jesus. He allowed us to do this. For a totally different kingdom to a totally different idea of what a nation, a kingdom is. This is a spiritual kingdom. And every time that we go through one of them, you will see that we will have to raise the bar to understand what nation mean, according to God, what priesthood, royal priesthood mean, what a race mean. We had to go over our human understanding, because he's not talking of about anything that we can understand him with a human mind. We need his spirit to understand this. He's raising the bar. He's not talking the way that we will explain all this concept. Interestingly, and I want you to keep this word for the end of it. The word priest in Latin is pontifical. Okay, and that word, it means someone who built bridges, someone who made bridges or built bridges. And this is very important for the last part. Someone who built bridges is not somebody that is in one side or is in the other side. It's somebody that is in the middle building bridges. Bridges to what? Bridges between the Gentiles, the people that don't know the Lord, and the people that, and God himself, I'm sorry. That's what we're supposed to build, bridges. So we are a chosen race. And we are royal priesthood. The next one is we are a holy nation. And I think that this is probably is restricted from Exodus 19. It comes from Exodus 19. We will read it. It says, Exodus 19, verse 5. I'll see. Oh, thanks. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So I'm pretty sure Peter was thinking about this verse when he was sharing the this words with us and with the people that he was talking to. So what is the idea of a holy nation? Let's describe first a nation. We kind of did already in the beginning. But what is a nation? Well, we'll say that a nation is a community of people, maybe large, that have a border, right? And probably they have a sovereign government for them. And that's the way that we most likely will understand what a nation is. And they have their own rules, their own laws. And that's probably the way that we can describe a nation. But what is a holy nation? Now, we have to raise the bar higher. We cannot keep the earthly understanding what a nation is. This is a holy nation. This is something much bigger, more important. And, a holy nation is a nation that is being separated, as we say before, for something else. A nation that is going to act different, a nation that is going to think different, a nation that is going to take decisions differently, like I said before, is going to show love different. It's going to show mercy different. It's going to do everything different. It cannot keep thinking in a human way because it's a holy nation. It's separated. Act according to God's principles, not anymore about how humans will act. They search for sanctification or to be holy. They search for the justice of their Lord. They search for peace, and not just search for peace, but they also are peace doers. They are peacemakers, and they show mercy, and they always move in love, with love. Now, we may say, okay, that's pretty easy. The Lord is, make us a holy nation, which should mean that he just took us and make us a separate nation. But this goes beyond that again. You're a holy nation, yes, because the Lord put us apart and put us separate, different than anything else. But also is a call to us that we need to stay holy or search for that holiness. The Lord tell us, be holy because as I am holy, or because I'm holy. I don't know if I'm mixing my wife's name with the holy, but you guys understand what I'm saying. We need to search for that holiness all the time, to be away from the sin and to think different, to act different. As we said, we are a holy nation. Think of it this way. It's like a boat. Think of a boat, that you are a boat, or we as a nation, we're a boat in the middle of the water, of the ocean. This boat in the middle of the whole ocean. The ocean is the world, and we are the holy nation. We are in the middle, surrounded everywhere by the world, but you are not part of the world. As a matter of fact, if you let the water come into your boat, most likely you'll start sinking. So what do you do if the water comes into your boat? You start taking it out like crazy because you don't want to sink. That's the idea. We are part of all this big ocean, but we are a boat. We are apart. We are separate. And every time that we let the world, the world ideas, the thoughts into that boat, what you want to do is just get them out. Get them out as fast as you can because we are separated and we don't want to sink, obviously. Somebody wrote about this topic. We are peculiar people belonging to God alone, marked off from the rest of mankind as peculiar his. You are not, and you are not to be as other men are. You are a peculiar people. Your road is not the broad one where the many go. It's the narrow one which the few find. Your happiness is not worldly pleasures, but pleasures are the right hand of God which are forevermore. You are peculiar people. And the very last one is a people for his own possession. This idea is really cool because it's like the Lord take you and take me and put you over here. And the idea here is somebody grabbing a marker and just, drawing a huge ring that mark who is who. The people that is here is mine. The people that is over there, I haven't get them over here yet, or they're just not simply mine. That's the idea here. It's people that's been acquired by God. And in Spanish, it's so much easier because the word actually is purchase or acquire. Is that right? Yes. Thank you. And this idea is not just somebody that stole these people. It's not somebody that just somebody give them these people. No, this is somebody that bought these people. And we know that, right? By theory, we know that the Lord buys us, and now we are his because of his blood and his payment. And that's how we end up now being a holy nation, a part of this kingdom. Now, the question that we had to ask were, if we were purchased and now we are here, what were before? What were we before? Who Jesus bought it from? Because if he purchases, that means that we belong to something else before. Read with me Colossians 1:13. It says, I'll wait, maybe it will show up there. There you go. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I'll tell you, when I read this, it wasn't too long ago, probably 2 or 3 months ago. For some reason, this hit me in a different way that other verse had hit me. That he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred me to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This, I can see the love of God in such a way for me to deliver me from darkness, to bring me to this kingdom, and I didn't do nothing right. It's just because he wanted me to be part of this kingdom. Now, who did this? Notice at the end it says, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So he said, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Who did this? Well, God, Yahweh, Jehovah. And let me raise the bar here. And please put attention. I'm going to try to do my best to make my point, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say here. The word Jesus, it means, who knows? I'm going to make this a little more.
People.
What? I'm sorry?
A what?
Jesus, Jehovah, save, or Jehovah rescue. Okay, that's what Jesus means. Jehovah, God, save, or God, rescue. So, stay with me, okay? Don't panic yet. Who save? Jehovah, God, right? Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is not important, because I recognize Jesus as my Savior. But I want to raise the bar, because I was talking with my friend. Many times, because we have the picture only of Jesus, a human, getting beat up and, you know, suffering for us. He did. As a human, he did. And I'm thankful for that. We forget who Jesus really was. He was God itself. He was God with us. The great I am. That's the God that came. That's the man that came to save you, to rescue you. It's God itself. It's the creator. The one that created everything is the one that came here, show me love, and got me out of there. Many times, and this is something that I went through, that's what I want to share with you. I see a human getting beat up, and I see Jesus as, you know, as an earthly being, and I forget that he was God. That he was God, the great I am. And this is huge, because I raised the bar once again, that we are so loved by our creator, that he looked at us full of sin, good for nothing, you know, the worst of the worst, and he just chose me to be part of this kingdom, to be part of this nation. He is the one that humiliated himself. He wasn't a man that turned to be God. It was God made man, well, God as man. This is huge love for us. He paid, he bought us, he took us out, and he put us apart so we can be separated from any earthly nation, or to not be inside of our earthly system. Now we are ruled and we are moved by something much bigger that we can find in this world. For what? That's the last part. For what? To proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What proclaim mean? It means to tell forth, to tell something not otherwise known, to make widely known, to report widely. That's what proclaim mean. And proclaim what? The excellences. What is excellences? The best. His power, the virtues of God, who he is and what he has done. That's what we're supposed to proclaim. We are separated from everything else or from everybody else to do this. That's our job. The Lord choose you and choose me so we can do this. Anything else that we may be proclaiming or doing, I will say is a distraction, most likely, because we haven't been called to do anything else but that, to proclaim, oh, Lord Jesus. We were trying to go through the New Testament very quickly, and I didn't see the Lord Jesus trying to change the world through worldly systems. I didn't see the disciples trying to change the world through worldly systems. I didn't see Paul doing the same thing. All what they did is share the gospel. All what they did is share Jesus. That's all. The world, what the world needs is salvation. That's what he needs. And that's what the Lord is telling us, to proclaim his excellences. Let's read Psalm 146 very quickly here. I had three options to preach tonight. They've told me you can preach and just start in 2 Samuel, or you can just go to a psalm, or you can just choose your topic. And I decided to go this way because this has been in my heart for a very long time. I'd be stuck in this, if you will. But I didn't want to leave a psalm out. And this is a great psalm for this topic. It says, we're going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord of my soul. I will praise the Lord of my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he who helps is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bound down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, does this sound like something that you hear around? People looking for justice? People looking for food for the poor? People may be looking for better health. People may be looking for care for the elderly and the fatherless. Have you heard that around on TV and the media? I'm sure you had. Who is the answer for all that people? Who is the answer for all that need?
Jesus.
Good job. Very good. Jesus is the one that we had to share. Jesus is the one that we need to preach, to proclaim his excellences. Think of it this way. We know that this war is going down. It's written. If you want to read about it, just move a couple chapters over in 2 Peter 3. You will hear and you will read. This war is going down. It's written. Okay? So let me put it this way. Think that you and me, we're in a train going somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere. And you know, you hear from the speakers that this train is going to fail or crash, wherever you want to do. Everybody's going to die. There's no way, there's no salvation, there's nothing that's going to stop that train. That train is done. So I ask you a question. We have two options. We have option one, we try to make the trip as comfortable as possible for the people for the next 2 hours to live, you know, the best they can until they, you know, taste the sweet death. Or we can try to find a way out, which I did. Let's say I did. And I found a window that opened, and I can see water a little farther ahead. So I have an option. I can try to make people comfortable, or I can start calling people to the window with maybe a flag, and I say, or something, hey, here is an exit right here. Let's get out of here. This is the way out. We can get out of here. Or you can just stay here comfortably and die. This is the idea for me that I found in here. We are being called to get people out of this train, not to make them comfortable. And I have to say that let me say this wisely so it doesn't misunderstood. I see myself and I see some of my family in the church, the Christian family. I find ourselves not doing it the right way. Not doing it the right way. What the people is Jesus. What the people is in a Savior. We need to get with that flag. without going in, without getting stuck in the earthly system, because we are not part of the earthly system. We are out with a flag, maybe in the line, if you will, and just calling people, hey, you guys want justice? Over here. Hey, you guys want, you know, more justice for the poor? Right here. You have it right here. I have it. I found the answer. Here's the exit to all those problems. You want the women and the men to be equal? Right here. The Lord give you that. That's what we've been called to do, to get people out of this. We need to keep pointing to the great I am. We need to keep pointing to our Lord Jesus. We need to keep pointing to the only one that has the answer for all the problems in this world. That's what we need to be pointing. We need to embrace who we really are and stop resisting to that the way that I did it when I was coming here. We need to embrace. We are separated. We are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen race. We are different. We are not part of this world. We are that boat that is right there. And every time there's something getting there, take it out and stay with the flag, right? This is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You need the great I am. You need Jehovah for your problems. You know, we like to watch a show with a kid that is called VeggieTales. I don't know how many like VeggieTales. But at the very end, every time they're going to come out, we all shout out, God make you special. He loves you very much. We all say that. But the truth is that he made you special. He chose you. We don't know why. But you are so special to your great I am, to your God. You're so special. And he gave us a mission. We need to embrace who we are and dedicate our life for what we've been called. That is to point to the great I am. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord bless you. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, because you remind us who we really are, Lord. Sometimes we forget, or sometimes we get so into these worldly systems that it's hard for us to get out of there. And remember that you had separated us from all this. Lord, I pray that you can convict our heart, change our heart. If we are too into this and we have let the world get into our boat, that we can get that out of there. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for the times that I have let the word take over my thoughts, the way that I decide things, the way that I think things. Lord, I pray that you can shape our heart according to who you are and who you want me to be. Lord, I pray that we stop resisting ourselves and that we can embrace our identity in you and only you. And I pray, Lord, that we can share the gospel, that we can proclaim who you are and what you have done, and that you are the only answer for this world, that you are the only one that who can help all the people that is out there lost, all the people that is in darkness, just the same way that we were. Lord, I pray that that could be our only preach, the only word of encouragement, the only word that we share, O Lord Jesus, the love of God for us that came and took us and set us apart. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. I remember Tim every time that, you know, that comes up. I was going to say something, but I'm going to finish with the word of God. We're just going to repeat the same verse. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are. Okay? Now you know what to do. The Lord bless you.